Alright, this is now talk 5 in the series that we're doing on how to forgive other people. And let's now begin to focus in a little more on how to forgive in practical terms. Some advice on what to do and how to actually go about doing it. So, in terms of how to actually forgive in practical terms, if forgiveness is proving to be difficult, you would always be well advised to begin the process with praying about it. And you might find that although basic forgiveness, as I've said, is a decision made by your will, you somehow still feel unable to achieve that forgiveness on your own solely by willpower. For one reason or another, you're really struggling with it. And the very fact that it can be difficult is what makes it essential to seek God's help with it, because without him, we may not always be able or willing to bring ourselves to doing this. So, and also, we may not be able, just in ourselves alone, to overcome the feelings of bitterness or even rage that we might be experiencing. And so, begin by telling God exactly how you feel, without any pretense about it and without hiding anything, because he knows anyway. And so your reason for telling him is not so that he can be better informed, it's so that you can recognize the reality of your situation and of your position and begin to seek his help. But let me just say a word about that phrase, bitterness. I've mentioned that, and in these talks we've been trying to look at the definitions of words and distinguishing one word from another. So why would we say that bitterness is wrong, rage is wrong, but we don't say that anger is wrong, or feeling hurt is wrong, or feeling violated is wrong? I think the essential difference is this, that it's okay for us to feel hurt, it's okay to feel anger, righteous anger, indignation. It's okay for us to feel that we've been traumatized, violated, stressed out by what's happened. That's not sinful. The difference with bitterness and with rage as well, as I mentioned elsewhere, is that when we're speaking of bitterness, what we really mean here is that you're going beyond just anger or a desire for justice. Bitterness is it involves you holding on to the position whereby you're the judge of the matter and you're the one who's seeking vengeance, you're the one who's seeking to get even, to hit back, to do harm to that person. And bitterness usually involves wishing evil on the other person, wanting to hurt the other person, wanting to punish the other person, and so on. So it isn't the same as just feeling hurt or upset or violated. Even at a deep level, you can feel all those things without being bitter. And so what I'm saying is that we need to differentiate here between bitterness and just anger, or bitterness and hurt. They're not the same thing. Bitterness is about what you do with your anger. Bitterness is taking your anger in the wrong direction and doing the wrong thing with it. So instead of forgiving the person, handing the situation over to God, letting him be the judge of it, or letting the police force or the legal system be the judge of it, you're holding on to it and you are fuming and fretting about the wrongdoer, wishing ill on the wrongdoer, wanting to hit back at him, and also dwelling upon it in an unhelpful and unhealthy way. So if you're doing that, all those kind of things, you're probably tending towards bitterness. Whereas if you're simply feeling hurt, angry, violated, etc., there's no reason why those things in themselves are wrong. In themselves, they're not wrong. They're wrong if they lead you towards bitterness rather than forgiveness. Anyway, I hope that clarifies that. So the thing is, in talking about praying to God about these things, and coming clean with him, the point is that he knows all your feelings anyway. But it will help you if you express it all to him. And preferably just say it out loud, because as you're saying it out loud, sometimes the things that you say out loud, as you hear your own voice saying what you actually think, it can be almost a discovery as you hear it. And it will also help you to be real with yourself and to identify exactly what the wrong is that you're concerned about, or at least what you think it is, what you believe it is. And it can help for you to spell out to yourself exactly what it is that you're seeking to achieve in this situation. So it may be that you are seeking justice or seeking redress, whilst at the same time you're seeking to forgive by stepping aside, letting the police take it over, letting the courts take it over, letting God take over. So you may be at the stage where you are trying to recuse yourself, as we said, and hand the case over to Jesus. You're still at that basic stage. Or it could be that you've attempted to do that, but you're still struggling to get rid of really intense feelings of anger, which may even be tending towards bitterness, which could be overwhelming you, and it could just be overpowering that you can't handle it. Or it could be that you've got beyond that stage. Maybe you've at this stage now in your prayers, what you're asking for is you've gone beyond that, and you're now asking for the grace to go further and to become capable of being reconciled with the wrongdoer, or of working alongside him again, or whatever. So whatever it is, that whatever stage you're at, whatever situation you're in, it can really help just to put it into words and spell it out. Because otherwise, these kind of feelings swirl around in a confused chaos in your mind, and you never quite know exactly what it is that you are thinking or feeling if you don't put it into words. And so the process of praying about it, not only is it seeking God's help, but it's also helping you in its own self, because the very process of saying what the problem is can really help you to suddenly realize where you are and where you stand. And so spelling it out, even if only for your own sake, will help you to define your current position and your objectives more clearly, and also help you to avoid confusing yourself about what your duty is in this situation, about exactly what you're trying to achieve. And so in setting it all out in plain words, it'll help you to realize that maybe you might realize you're trying to go too far too fast, and that you're actually going quicker than you can manage it. You might suddenly realize that when you say, for example, you might ask God to help you to be reconciled to the wrongdoer, but then you might suddenly realize, hang on a minute, why am I asking for this? I'm not ready to be reconciled. That's beyond me at the moment. Even asking for that may cause you to realize more clearly where you really are. Or it might cause you to realize that you're going beyond what Jesus has commanded you to do. Just the very process of putting it into words might cause you to see, you might say, wait a moment, this is going beyond what I'm commanded. This is going beyond forgiveness. Here I am feeling obligated to achieve a different objective, a higher objective of reconciliation or trust or something like that. Why am I even asking for this? I'm not ready for this. I don't even think it's necessarily right for me to ask for this. And so that kind of clarity can come as you begin to pray about it. So not only do you seek God's help, but the very process of praying can help you to define your own thoughts and see the position more clearly. So ideally, a good thing to do is to write it all down on paper, so that you can see your own thinking, your own current thoughts, your own assessment of the situation, your own assessment of your objectives, of your hopes for what can be done. And then you see it all on the page, staring back up at you from the page. And when you do that, and you see your own thinking there on the page, it will force any error or confusion to come to the surface. Because if it isn't written down, if it isn't looking at you from the page, that confusion can just be in your mind, unidentified, unspecified, not pinned down. And it's vague, it's swirling around, it's not quite tangible, it's not quite, you haven't put your finger on your own error, on your own wrong thinking. And so by looking at it, what your position is, written down on paper, you'll be better placed to ask God to give you the ability to forgive the wrong, at least in basic terms, to recuse yourself, or even to go further than that if that is appropriate, which it may or may not be. So, and also, it may be that you feel so low and so damaged by the actions or the words of the wrongdoer that you don't even feel capable at the moment of praying for God's help in being able to forgive them. So, as I said, begin by asking for God's help in forgiving them. But what if you don't even feel capable of asking Him to help you to forgive them? Well, if that's the case, if you feel that traumatized by it, go back a stage and ask God to help you even to be willing to be willing. And God is totally realistic about us. He's totally realistic with us. And He's also very practical. And He knows that we're frail, that we're weak, that we're sinful, that we are not all of us terribly clever. And He knows our difficulties in the area of forgiveness. And He's our creator. He made us. He made our emotions. He made them as a valid and essential part of us. So He created us with emotions because we need emotions. But also, He has emotions Himself. And we're made in His image and likeness. So that's another reason why He gave us emotions, because He has them. So the point is that God really does understand that people feel things, that we're not only thinking machines, we're not only calculators. You know, we feel as well as merely thinking or deciding. And He knows that we find those feelings hard to handle at times. So if the reality of the situation is that you're not yet able to forgive, or even you don't feel able to ask God to help you to forgive, you could say, well, please, Lord, help me to be willing to ask that of you. Help me to be willing to forgive this person. Help me to change from where I am now to where I ought to be. And I think if that prayer is made sincerely, that's a prayer that honours God. It's not pretentious, it's real, it's genuine, it's sincere, it's straightforward, it's honest. So that is something God will honour. And in addition to all of that, Jesus Himself, He was and He still is a man. And therefore He knows exactly how you feel from first-hand experience. And He has felt very similar feelings Himself. The difference, of course, is that when He felt violated or traumatized or stunned by people's hostility or violence towards Him, the point is that He reacted in a totally sinless way towards it and towards them, whereas we usually don't. So although He didn't respond sinfully, that's true, He does nevertheless know how you feel. The difference is, of course, that He responded to it in a sinless way. And we don't often respond in a sinless way. But He still understands the feeling that you're struggling with. And so for all those reasons, He really does understand us and He does sympathize with us. Many people imagine that Jesus is unsympathetic, that He's looking upon us with disapproval and criticism and so on. That's a mistake. He looks upon us with sympathy. He realizes how hard it is for us, and therefore He'll honor an honest prayer that you make. The more honest, the better. And perhaps you might say something along the following sort of lines. You could say to Him something like this. You could say, Lord, the truth is I'm not yet willing to forgive, even in the narrow, basic sense of the word, even just to step aside and recuse myself as I think I ought to. And you'll say, however, I want to be obedient, so I want to get to a place where I could become willing to do that. Therefore, please help me to change my heart attitude so as to become willing to forgive person X, or at least willing to become willing to forgive person X. And just say that straightforwardly. That's not insulting God, that's honoring Him. You're being real with Him. And God strongly desires to answer a sincere, unpretentious prayer. And you can be sure that He will readily respond to a prayer like that by beginning to change you on the inside and by giving you the grace that you need to take difficult, painful decisions and steps. And therefore, I recommend that you pray like that and continue doing so for as long as it takes. So don't just imagine that if you make a prayer, that's it. God must immediately answer you, that you don't need to keep going. Sometimes you do need to keep going. Sometimes you need to keep knocking and seeking. And he will give you your answer. But he might take hours, days or weeks over it. But he will give you your answer. And also, the very process of asking is a kind of healing process. The process of asking is part of the answer. So you keeping asking for the grace, you keeping asking to be willing, that in itself is beginning to do what Paul calls taking every thought captive. It's the beginning, the process of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's a process in which you need to play a part. It's not just God's job to help you to do those things. You're part of it. And the very process of praying in itself helps to change the way you think, the way you speak, and the way you expect things, what you're focusing on, and so on. And that is all part of the process of being transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is what you need. So, another point when you are praying is to pray directly for the wrongdoer himself, not just for the ability to forgive him, but actually to pray for him, for the wrongdoer, for his general benefit or specific benefit in one or more ways, in whatever ways. As you do that, as you're praying for him, for his benefit, you are therefore showing grace towards him. You're doing something for him that he doesn't deserve. You're giving him something that he doesn't have any right to. And that's what grace is. You're praying for him, which he has no entitlement to, but nonetheless you're doing it, and you're therefore showing grace. And in doing that, you will receive God's grace in return. Plus, the very process of showing grace will soften your own heart. Indirectly, it will have that outcome, that you will be softened by the very process of showing grace. So showing grace will lead indirectly to you changing and becoming capable of forgiving the person. So in a certain sense, what I'm saying here is almost to reverse the normal sequence. So ordinarily, you would forgive first, and you might or might not show grace to the person afterwards. But it can be, in certain circumstances, that if you can't forgive yet, or just don't feel, you just can't face doing it, or you can't handle it at the moment, showing grace can bring you to a place where you are capable of forgiving. So it works in both directions. So although we normally show grace afterwards, after forgiving, as an extra, as an additional step, it can also, in some situations, be done beforehand as a preliminary step. And basically whatever it takes to get you to that place where you feel able to forgive. So therefore it's helpful to just begin to pray in general terms for the overall benefit of the person who has wronged you. So here you are, feeling traumatized, feeling as if you've been hit round the head with a baseball bat. You're stunned, you're dazed, you're hurting, you're upset, you're angry, but you want to forgive. Even perhaps you're trying to forgive, but you don't feel it's working. You don't feel you're achieving it. Keep praying for him, for his family, for his salvation, for him to receive God's mercy, God's grace on his life, blessing for his children or wife or whatever. And it's possible for you to do that as a sheer exercise of your will. You can do that even though you don't feel like it. You can do that even before you've managed to forgive them. Even in the narrowest sense of forgiving, you can still pray for someone's benefit, however little you've been able to achieve by way of forgiving. Because it's something that you can make yourself do, even while your emotions are very raw and painful and damaged. So pray for him, the wrongdoer, pray for his family, pray for God to bring him to a place of repentance and salvation, pray for his eternal life. Pray also that God would forgive the wrongdoer, even if you don't yet feel able to forgive him. Now, that may not, on the face of it, sound as if it makes any sense. It might even sound hypocritical. But it's not hypocritical. It's good preliminary groundwork, and it will help you to make your own forgiveness of the wrongdoer an achievable objective, something it gets you closer to being able to achieve it. And so the point is, you can't control how you feel, but you can control what you say and do. And therefore, you can pray like that for the general benefit of the wrongdoer, even if, at the moment, you're still not feeling able to forgive them. And or, even if you keep falling back into unforgiveness and bitterness, even if that's a battle you're fighting at the moment, where you keep lapsing back into it, if you pray for the person who's wronged you, or even if he's still wronging you, then it has the following beneficial results in you. Number one, it changes you on the inside. So there you are praying for him, but it's you that's changing. Because when you pray, God often changes you, not just the person or thing that you're praying about. So on the inside, you're changing, and it also alters your attitude to the wrongdoer. That begins to alter as a result of your words. So you may not be able to change your feelings, perhaps even your thoughts, but you can change your words, and as your words change, your thoughts and feelings begin to change. So number two, doing this also brings emotional healing to you, such that eventually it'll bring you to a place where you can manage to forgive the wrongdoer. And thirdly, it also changes the way that God deals with you. So when God sees you praying for the wrongdoer and showing mercy and grace towards him, God's heart is touched by that, but also he will begin to show equivalent mercy and grace towards you, as we saw earlier in the earlier talks. Now, God is also particularly pleased when he sees us doing something from sheer obedience as an exercise of our will, even when he knows perfectly well that we don't feel like doing it. And he knows how we feel inside, he already knows. And therefore, that sacrifice on our part in being willing to pray for the wrongdoer, it makes our obedience in doing that all the more precious to God. And therefore, you can say that praying for your own enemies and persecutors is not some idealistic, unrealistic concept that's otherworldly or even silly. It's not at all. It's actually hard-headed common sense to pray for the wrongdoer. And it's entirely in your interest to do it. And because, if nothing else, if you show grace towards others, you will receive God's grace towards you in return, and that is worth having. Now, that's an absolute certainty, that you'll receive that in some way at some point. And part of that grace will be that he'll give you the ability to forgive others in circumstances where you're currently struggling or completely unable to do it. Okay. Now, forgiveness is primarily something that you do rather than something that you feel. It's worth re-emphasizing that, because many people struggle and get very confused because they don't realize, or they keep forgetting, that forgiveness is primarily something that you do, not something that you feel. And to a large extent, the position is that feelings follow actions. This is the way life really works. So merely by the physical act of speaking the words of forgiveness and doing tangible things such as praying for the wrongdoer, merely by doing those things, your feelings will eventually come into line with what you're saying and doing. So at the moment, what you're saying and doing may not reflect what you're presently feeling and thinking, but in due course, what you're feeling and thinking will begin to alter to match what you are now saying and doing. That's the direction of travel. That's the causal link or chain of causation. And it's important to remember this when you feel that you just can't bring yourself to forgive somebody, or where the bitterness just won't go away, even where you keep trying and trying. So therefore, if you nevertheless force yourself to speak out the words of forgiveness and to pray for the wrongdoer, you'll find over a period of time, I don't mean in 5 seconds flat, over a period of time, you'll find that your feelings towards him will gradually alter. And what was initially unthinkable and totally unachievable will start to become thinkable, and after that it will start to become possible, and eventually it will be achieved and will have been achieved. And so if you don't realize that forgiveness is sometimes only possible if it's done in stages, and that it's primarily a decision rather than a feeling, you could waste years of your life just waiting forlornly, futilely, for your feelings to change. So you, if you think that you must wait for your feelings to be ready and then you can make a decision to forgive, you could wait forever. It doesn't work that way. It's not based on your feelings. Your feelings must follow your actions, not your actions following your feelings. So your feelings, your things won't work out for you if you go about it in that direction. So if you wait for your feelings to alter, they won't alter. And if anything, the bitterness usually just gets worse, gets more intense as time goes by. So it's a major error to imagine that you must feel like forgiving the wrongdoer before you can actually forgive him. That's not true. The truth is that most of us won't ever feel like forgiving somebody. Why would you feel like it? It doesn't work that way. We're sinful people. We have a flesh nature. And to our flesh nature, forgiving others does not come naturally. That is not what will spontaneously, naturally occur to you as a good idea. It won't. Your sinful nature won't think of that, won't want that, won't ever want that. It's got to be imposed by your will as a decision that you're making yourself do. And then let your feelings come into line with what your will is deciding to do, and what your mouth, what your body is doing and saying. But also, we're still living in this sinful world. We're surrounded by other sinners who don't believe in forgiveness at all. And also, we're not yet glorified, we're not in our resurrection bodies, we're not even fully sanctified. So why would we ever expect forgiveness to be easy, or to be something that we would ever want to do? You see, it's not a question of wanting to forgive people, but of choosing to forgive them. And that choice has nothing to do with your feelings, it's to do with your will making a decision to be obedient to the command that we've been given. Not about wanting. It's like saying, who would want to run up a beach in Normandy and run up with machine guns firing at you? Why would you want to do that? You don't run up a beach in Normandy because you want to. You run up a beach in Normandy because you've been ordered to, and you want to carry out your orders, and you've decided that you're going to obey your orders. But you're doing something that you don't want to do. Nevertheless, you're doing something that you have chosen to do. It's not about wanting, it's about choosing. And it's the same with forgiving. It's a choice, it's a decision, it's not a feeling. It's not something that is dependent upon your feelings. So, another point is this. Ask God to help you to see your own faults as well. And even how you could have possibly, perhaps, contributed to the wrong that was done to you. Now, this is a very helpful thing to do. Ask God to reveal to you what your own faults and sins are. Because all of us, I think I can say that, virtually all of us, tend to underestimate our own sinfulness. And we don't realize the degree to which and the ways in which we have ourselves wronged God and wronged other people. Now, sometimes, not always, the truth is that we were in some way or another at least partly to blame for the wrong that was done to us. And we may even have provoked it in some way that we didn't realize or that we've forgotten about. And we can therefore be greatly helped if we ask God to bring our own faults to the surface and to expose them so that we can see them. And that revelation will help us to be able to forgive the wrongdoer, because we will start to realize all the more clearly that we ourselves are also a wrongdoer. So instead of seeing ourselves as victim, other people as wrongdoers, we start to see ourselves as a fellow wrongdoer. So this man's a wrongdoer, he's been a wrongdoer to you, but you are a wrongdoer, you've been a wrongdoer to someone else, and possibly even to him, to that wrongdoer. Once you begin to see yourself in context as a fellow wrongdoer, I think that makes a big difference in how you look at the whole situation. And this is true too, that actually sometimes God may allow a person to wrong you or to mistreat you in order to help you to see how and where you do the same or similar things to other people. So therefore, when something happens where someone is rude or thoughtless or ungrateful or selfish or cruel or spiteful or whatever, you could ask God, do I ever do this to other people? Are there people to whom I'm doing this without being aware of it? Or are there people to whom I'm doing this or similar things to this, perhaps not realizing how much harm it's doing or how hurtful it is or what? And by asking yourself that question, you may find that God will give you the answer, and that the very reason why that incident was allowed in your life for person X to hurt you, to offend you, to be unpleasant to you, was perhaps to enable you to see that very same fault in yourself that you're currently unaware of. But we may even see that we've partly caused or contributed to the very wrong that was done to us. Or we might realize that we've wronged others in similar ways. Now, the truth is that most of us are largely, if not even completely, blind to our own faults. And we either don't see them properly, or we don't see them at all. And so sometimes, although not always, we may be operating hypocritically. So we may be wrestling with our inability to forgive person X, whilst at the same time being oblivious to the damage that we have done to person X or to someone else, perhaps person Y or person Z. Now, if we could see the incident that hurt us from the perspectives of any or all of those people, X, Y or Z, then our own grievance may suddenly appear different and less one-sided. Now, that's not always true. Sometimes the wrongdoer is 100% to blame and we haven't done a single thing. We were just walking down the street when we were mugged in the street, and we haven't done a single thing wrong. So it's not always the case that we have partially contributed, but often it is, and it's worth asking that question. And I can think of one situation some years ago where, let's call them person A. Person A was speaking of the way that they had been mistreated by person B. Now, some of us were involved on the edge of this and were watching and hearing this. And those who heard this account being given by person A knew the background facts, and we were well aware that person A was at least partly deluded about it all, and they were convinced that they had done nothing wrong. But we all knew that they had done something wrong. And so it possibly wasn't our place to say it, but if person A had asked God, I think God would have revealed the fuller picture to them, and that would have enabled them to see how, in fact, the mess that they were in was partly caused by their own selfishness, their own pride, their own stubbornness, and so on. But what's more, if person A had really wanted to know the truth and had been open-minded to it and had had the love of the truth, they could have asked any of us who were bystanders, and they could have said to us, tell me the truth. Did I contribute to that problem in any way with wrong behavior and wrong attitudes of my own? Now, if person A had asked that question sincerely, we could have explained things to them gently that would have opened their eyes and made it easier for them to see the wider picture, and also easier to forgive the wrong done to them, which was a real wrong, which had been done by person B. But they would have been able to do it with a fuller and wider knowledge of the overall picture. They'd have seen the whole episode more clearly and more fairly, and in its proper context. Okay, well, let's just look at briefly at when and how does God judge and punish people. Because one day, Jesus will judge all of us, and he'll do so either at the judgment seat of Christ for believers, or at the great white throne judgment for unbelievers. But he'll also judge wrongdoers in various other ways as well, including along the way, in preliminary ways, long before those final judgments take place. And the other thing is that God uses human governments and institutions to judge wrongdoers here and now, right now. He uses the police, lawyers, judges, magistrates, prisons, civil courts, local councils, and so on and so forth. And all of those bodies are used by God to punish wrongdoers, albeit only to a limited extent, whereas the punishment that will be given at the Great White Throne is at an appallingly high level of severity, but the punishment given now is much, much smaller. Nevertheless, there is punishment now, and it comes from God, and it's part of his process of judgment. It mustn't be seen as being nothing to do with God. It's everything to do with him. He put those authorities in place to give order to civic society and to give structure and at least partial justice in this world. He put them in place for that very purpose, to maintain order, to restrain crime, to punish the wicked, pending the final day of judgment. Now, those organisations and institutions are all God's agents, and that's why we're commanded to pray for them, and all the more so if we're in countries where those institutions are inefficient or even if they're corrupt. Nevertheless, to whatever extent they manage to do it, they're doing God's work, or at least they're meant to be doing it, even if they don't do it, and even if they don't realise they're meant to do it. So therefore, where such institutions exist, we can, quite properly, allow God to use institutions like those, the police, the civil courts, to deal with the person who has wronged us. It's not wrong to do that or to want that. And it's not wrong to want that person to be judged by those bodies or institutions even ahead of the final judgment. So in asking to have a person handed over to God's judgment, it doesn't only mean the final judgment. The judgment of a court or the police or whatever is part of God's judgment right now, right here and now. And that is not inconsistent with us forgiving that person. We can forgive the person and still let the wheels of justice turn and let the process and the system play out and carry out everything it wants to do. It's not a contradiction. And sometimes it's the very fact that we can hand a thing all over, just hand it over to the police, hand it over to the court, the very fact that we're able to do that can be what makes it possible for us to forgive the wrongdoer, because it brings justice forward, at least in part, so that we don't always have to wait to the very end of this age in order to be vindicated or to see justice done. Now, I emphasise this because some people think that if they go to the police or take part in a civil case as a claimant or as a witness, or if they seek justice in any way, then that must mean that they're not properly forgiving the other person. Now, that's not the case. It could be true in some situations, but it's not necessarily so in all cases. So, on the contrary, forgiveness in many ways involves doing that, because forgiveness involves handing things over for God to deal with, and therefore that can sometimes also include handing the problem over to God to deal with it right now by making use of the very institutions that he has set up to punish people on his behalf. The courts are working for him. They're doing his business. So those courts or prisons and so on are a part of what Jesus has role is as judge of the world. They're a small foretaste of what the final judgments are going to be like. Now, of course, the final judgments, Jesus will conduct them himself as final hearings in person. But for now, Jesus chooses to operate in part through various human agencies. So a Christian should not feel that he cannot use those. He can use those. It's not sinful. It's not a failure to forgive. So Jesus gave us those institutions for our benefit, and we're meant to use them where it's appropriate. So, admittedly, it's not always right to go to the police or to lawyers. Much will depend on your real motives and your real heart attitude. But it may well be right for you to go to those people for help, and doing so is not necessarily inconsistent with the idea of forgiving the wrongdoer, and it does not necessarily mean that you're disobeying God or being vindictive or bitter. So that's a question, though, that you need to ask yourself, that you need to ask whether you're motivated by vindictiveness or by a genuine wish to seek for justice. So the question is, in going to the police, in going to court, are you simply seeking justice, or are you trying to use someone else to hit back, to cause pain, to cause damage to the wrongdoer as a means of you getting revenge, expressing your bitterness, and so on? You'd need to examine your motives. But if a wrong has been done to you and you simply want the system to bring justice, that's okay. As long as you're not motivated by a vindictive desire to gloat over your opponent or your enemy being damaged in some way. And it's not always easy for you to tell what your own motives are. You may need to seek guidance from others to help you to decide whether or not to take a matter to the police or to pursue a civil claim or just to let the matter drop. It depends. There's no obviously right answer, which is always the right answer. It depends on all sorts of factors and circumstances. But the point is, it's very frequently perfectly all right for you to go to police, courts, civil authorities, councils, lawyers, and so on, to seek redress and justice. In itself, there's nothing wrong with that. Nevertheless, it's wise and right to check and examine your own motives and to seek advice from others as to what they think and whether they think your motives are right. Okay, but what about handing things over to be judged by God himself, because there are no human courts or institutions which we can go to? Now, sometimes there aren't. There's no human court that we can go to. Or it may be that the wrong that's been done to us is not a crime, or it's not a breach of contract or a tort that you might be able to sue for. And it may be something that not the courts and the police can't help us with, can't do anything about. And if that's the case, it may be that we just need to hand the whole situation over to God himself and ask him to decide what to do about it. Ask him to decide who's right and who's wrong, and to deal with any wrong that's been done to us. Now, David adopted that approach in his dealings with King Saul when he was on the run, and Saul was persecuting him maliciously. And David says in 1 Samuel 24:15, he says, "May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it, and plead my cause, and deliver me from your hand." Now, David couldn't appeal to the king for help or justice, because the very man persecuting him was the king himself. So David had to trust in God to judge who was right and who was wrong, and to do justice in that dispute between them. But even when David was doing that, he refused to hit back personally at King Saul for himself, or to kill Saul. And he knew that that wouldn't be right, but he knew it was right for him to hand the situation over to God. So there was nothing wrong in David asking God to bring judgment on King Saul in the event, and to the extent that King Saul was at fault. There was nothing wrong with making that prayer, and you can make that prayer. It's a perfectly right and proper thing to pray where you feel that you have been the victim of a wrong. Okay, well, we'll stop there. That's the end of Talk 5.